Sports Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
It's Sports Talk Saturday.
Lou, you're my boy!
Thank you, sir.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
He lived with his mother till he was 40. She tried to poison his oatmeal.
Erroneous! Erroneous! Erroneous on both counts.
Some great clips there, of course, from some great movies. Wedding Crashers is my favorite movie. Is that crazy to say?
Not at all. It's like a timeless classic.
Well, is it a classic? Is it considered a classic?
Almost 15 years old. It's getting into classic range, I think.
But see, I think you also have to be somewhat... No, okay, maybe it would qualify then. Because it's got to be momentous, I think, even when it comes out. Not just, like, it's kind of a compiler to me. Like, to me, Wedding Crashers is almost like Frank Gore. Like, at any point, has Wedding Crashers been, like, the best movie around? No, it's been popular for a really long time, but maybe not the most popular for a really long time.
It's a movie where if TBS is showing it,
oh, I'm stopping
I'll
every
dabble.
Time.
I don't care where it's at in the movie. I'll dabble.
That's another it's good happening. Point. You could enter the movie, I think, at almost just about any point, and it's still good.
Sufficient. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. We've settled on. Okay, fine. I'm there. Wedding Crashers, my favorite movie, also an all-time classic. My voice sounds very similar to Nate's, so you might be confused for me to say this, but this is not Nate Geary. Joe DiBiase here hosting Sports Talk Saturday for the next couple of hours. Kyle Powell is running the board behind me or in front of me. And we got golf going on right now, so we're going to talk to Kevin Sylvester in about a half hour to get an update on the Open Championship. Bills training camp about a week away. We'll spend most of the day on football. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports covers the Bills. Will join me at noon to talk more about the Bills. And so a little hockey at the end, 1 p.m. Pete Jensen from NHL.com, who is one of their analysts and also one of their fantasy analysts, will join me, talk a little bit about some of his predictions for the Sabres. And I also got an idea for Kyle Okposo that sparked in my mind after this weird trade that happened in the NHL yesterday between the Flames and the Oilers, Lucic for James Neal. Such a strange trade. And I'm wondering if there could be a comparable at some point the Sabres could explore along those same lines. But I want to start with the Bills. We are days away from training camp, and we are days away from really going full blast into football season and into football talk. And the preseason's right around the corner, too. Like, that really sneaks up on you. And last year's preseason, I remember being more interested than normal, as I think a lot of people were, because we were thinking about quarterback. And every time there is a quarterback competition, it amps up, not just training camp, but it amps up the preseason a little bit. I've always argued that, you know, that fourth preseason game where you get the Keith Wennings of the world and quarterbacks you've just never heard of showing up for a week to play for you and then being gone right after. Why not bring in quarterbacks that have some name recognition that fans would be curious to see for that game rather than just some nobody no one's ever heard of and nobody comes to the game, nobody's interested in the game at all? Like, would a 35-year-old Vince Young coming back draw some interest in that fourth preseason game? Would Brett Favre come out of retirement for one preseason game? He sounds like he would. Didn't he? There was a thing about that a couple weeks ago. Brett Favre might come out of retirement. That was a joke, though. And here is the Bills this year, and there's no quarterback competition, so you don't have the interest factor there, because last year was at least interesting for that, as it was a few years before that with Tyrod and EJ and Matt Castle. This year, though, I'm very intrigued by the quarterback as well, by the position. And the question I want to ask everybody is, which Bills player are you most curious to see in both training camp and the preseason? Now, my instinct when thinking about this question was to go with Devin Singletary. I am always thinking about running back and the future of running back and how you have that position suffice. I love the way that position is set up nowadays because it's all strategy. It is constant movement. It is you have to always be on your toes because you could have a star running back one day and the next day he's out of the league. That happens all over the place. Arian Foster, like he hit the hill like that. He was one of the best running backs in football for the Houston Texans, and it was like, all right, one offseason goes by, and he's out of the league. Just like that. And you have to constantly be ready to replace and replenish that position. And the Bills have gone about that position a different way than most teams. Like, I think about New England for this. New England always churns out that in and out that position, and it's always versatile backs. It's always guys that can play the three down part of it, the first and second down part of it. You know, running up the gut, draw plays, like the running aspect of it. And it's also they also have the running backs that can do the receiving part of it. James White, Rex Burkhead. They just drafted a kid out of Alabama, Damian Harris. These are all running backs that possess the ability to not only pass block, but be effective in the passing game. Because that's where the league's going. It's a simple math game. Why do you think all the analytics guys talk the same way about that position? They all talk about how you don't have to invest much in it. You can find guys on the street. And we had Sam Monson, PFF, on earlier in the week, and he made a great point. Given their data, it's more important how good your offensive line is, and it's more important how good your passing game is to affect your running game as opposed to how good the actual running back is in the first place. That's just significant, signifies what that position means nowadays. But here's the Bills. And they have four backs, three of which I think it's fair to say you would not expect here to be long term. They're not going the youthful route. They're not going the, we're just going to pick up guys off the street and plug them into roles. No, they're bringing in guys that have name recognition, two guys that might be Hall of Famers in McCoy and Gore, which is fine. But there's only one on the team that I think you could say is going to be here long term, and that's Devin Singletary. So when I first thought about this question, which Bills player would you be most curious to see in camp and preseason? My instinct went to Devin Singletary. Think about the preseason and what's going to happen this preseason. Is McCoy going to get touches in the preseason? No. Sal, I think, brought out a stat yesterday that he had 10 touches in one of his preseasons and 4 in the other. 14 carries for LeSean McCoy in his Bills preseason career. He's not getting touches. So you're not going to figure out much there. Frank Gore's 36 years old. I cannot imagine that they're going to give him a whole boat of workload. And if you go to our website, WGR550.com, you can find quotes from Brandon Bean talking about the running back position to Sal Capaccio. And one of the quotes is about Frank Gore, and he says, we need to protect Frank from himself. All he wants is the ball. So I can't imagine he's going to get much workload in the preseason. So now we're left with two. You're probably going to see a lot of TJ Yeldon, I would think, in the preseason, because I think he's maybe of those four closest to being cut, most on the roster bubble. He's got to work the hardest, fight the hardest to get his spot, because the other three, it's hard for me to see them being released. Maybe McCoy would get traded, but cut, it's hard for me to see that. Singletary is the guy, rookie, young, that I could see getting the most touches, which would make me very curious to see what he looks like playing with the first team offense, getting those starter reps, what he looks like as the workload back, because I would like to get to a point in this season where we know whether or not he is the future running back going forward. Will he be the starter in 2020? Well, we're going to have to find that out at some point. You have to find out at some point if you're going to be comfortable with him taking on that role. All that being said, I thought about it a little more, and I thought to myself, I will be very interested to see Singletary. Don't get me wrong. If I were going to rank who I'm most curious to see in camp and the preseason, he'd be second. But my number one guy is Tyree Jackson. I am very curious to see Tyree Jackson, what he looks like, because there is reason to believe that he could actually be something in the NFL. At least some small hope that he could actually turn into something great. And I don't want the Bills to be scared off by that because they have Allen. Like, a lot of times, it seems like teams don't want to have a really good backup because, oh, if our starter has one bad game that everyone's calling for the backup, ignore it. Ignore it and just have the best at that position that you can. And if you ever get to a point where that backup becomes so good that he has value around the league, well, good, then I can trade him for an asset. Similar to what the Patriots, they got a second-round pick for Garoppolo. He barely ever started for them. They also got a third-round pick for Jacoby Brissett, by the way, who also barely ever started for them. two backup quarterbacks, and they got two valuable picks. Because guess what? I know Brady is on a whole nother level, but they were not afraid to have a really good backup quarterback. And I'm wondering if Tyree Jackson possesses that ability. The fact that he went undrafted will always be strange to me. It will always be strange. Because when you look at what he was as a prospect, and even when you look at what Josh Allen was as a prospect, there's not a lot of differences. Like, there's a lot of similarities. 2 years ago, Allen was a polarizing prospect, but never, like, undrafted. Like, there were people that thought he was a second, third-round prospect. But I don't ever remember people saying, hey, this guy shouldn't be drafted at all. And look at Tyree last year. He was never talked about as a real, I think, true first-round prospect. People thought he could go in the second. People thought he could go in the third or the fourth. But did anyone ever get to he's going to be an undrafted player or a first-round pick? Like, why the major difference? Because when I look at the two prospects, I see a lot of similarities. Big arm for Tyree, big arm for Allen. There's a reason in the new Madden game that Josh Allen is first in the game in the throwing power. I think Mahomes is two, and Tyree Jackson is third. Like, the Bills have two of the top five quarterbacks in the new Madden game in terms of throwing power. That's one similarity. They both have cannons. They can throw it over the mountains. They both have the mobility. They're both great athletes. We saw Allen last year running all over the place, making Kiko Alonso look like he should be playing in the XFL. And then Tyree Jackson runs a 4.5 something at the combine last year for UB, super mobile. He had a 70-yard run a couple years ago against Army. Like, the guy's got wheels. There's another similarity. They both played at small schools. Any concern you would have had about Allen, hey, can he live up to playing against the competition? He didn't play against SEC defenses. He played at Wyoming. He played in the WEC against Division I schools, but a lot lesser Division I schools. Tyree Jackson, UB, the MAC. It's Division I, but you're not really playing against the toughest of the toughest competition. You're not playing against the SEC or the ACC. You might get one Big Ten game a year, and that's about it. Last year was Rutgers, which is hardly a Big Ten team. I mean, they're hardly a Division I team at this point. There's another similarity. The major difference might even have been, hey, Josh Allen didn't put up stats. Tyree Jackson did. So if anything, I would look at Tyree Jackson and say he actually had, you could argue, a better resume than Allen did. And I'm not saying this to trash Allen. I was very impressed by him in his rookie season. I had my doubts about him in year one. But there's reason to believe they're very similar college prospects. So if Allen can come out, and Allen can look great at times in his rookie year, inconsistent, but I mean, he had some highlights last year. If he can do that, why should I discount that Tyree Jackson can ever do the same thing? Maybe it'll never be here because Allen is here, and Allen, if he continues along his path, you shouldn't have to worry about, well, do I have another guy that can fill in if Allen can't do it? But I think NFL-wide, this kid should have been drafted, and I'm very interested to see what he looks like in camp and in the preseason. He will make the preseason 10 times more interesting because who's going to be the guy playing in third and fourth quarter? Who's going to be the guy playing the entire fourth preseason game? I don't think you're going to have some scrub veteran that you've never heard of like Keith Wenning or some has-been guy like Matt Leinart that you know is not going to do anything for your team. I don't think you're going to have to bring that guy in. Matt Sims, that's the name I should have used. Matt Sims, the guy who threw the ball over his head backwards 30 yards. I don't think that guy's going to have to play for you this year because I think you're going to want to get every look you can, every rep you can, to see whether Tyree Jackson is worth a roster spot as a developmental player because, hey, you never know with his skill set what he could be at that position. And I'd also like to get more of an answer of why he goes undrafted. Is it the throwing motion? That's what I hear the most. Like, that's probably the biggest reason Allen gets picked so much higher than Tyree Jackson. They don't have a lot of differences, but one of them would be Allen's, I definitely admit it, Allen's throwing motion is 1,000 times smoother than Tyree Jackson's is. Jackson almost looks like he has kind of a hitch in the middle of it, and it looks like a little awkward when he comes away with it. But look at Phillip Rivers. Sometimes that doesn't matter that much. Now, Phillip Rivers' motion might be a little quicker, but it's still awkward. So, does Tyree Jackson get a roster spot? Is he able to? Is the backup quarterback position available to him? Like, could he have a preseason good enough where he takes over for Matt Barkley as the backup? Because I think Matt Barkley is just kind of a backup, like a guy I shouldn't expect to come in and light the world on fire. Like, if Josh Allen were to get hurt at any point this year, knock on wood, that does not happen. But if that were to happen, I don't think I can ever begin to think about playoffs with Matt Barkley as my quarterback. I just don't see the upside there. And the other thing I like about Tyree, and I love that the Bills were able to pick him up. Like, I would have been happy if they drafted him. But the reason I like that they picked him up in the first place is he could present to you a backup quarterback that is kind of a wild card, which doesn't often happen. A lot of times your backups are like these has-been veterans, like Matt Cassel, who's been bouncing around the league for how long as a backup quarterback, when every team should know that if you get to a point where Matt Cassel has to play for you, you're not going to win anything big. It's just not going to happen. So why wouldn't teams want to go with a bit of unknown and upside for their backup? And that's what I think Tyree Jackson presents. And I'd like to see him make this roster. He obviously has to have a good camp and a good preseason, I think, to do it. But I'm hoping that happens because that's what he presents to me. A backup quarterback to where if Allen were to ever go down with injury, hope that never happens. But if it did, then you have a guy that you can plug in there and say, hey, we don't know that he couldn't take us to the playoffs. Like, probably not. Undrafted quarterback, small school. Lot of accuracy problems, a lot of decision-making problems, but we don't know that he couldn't do it. Whereas Matt Barkley, I think we have a pretty solid idea. He has enough track record in the league. There's a reason he hasn't got a starting opportunity as long as he's been in the league. Good backup, was impressed by him against the Jets last year, but Tyree might present something more. So he's my answer, I think, at this point for which Bills player I am most curious to see in training camp or the preseason. 716-803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation, want to let me know what you think on this. You can also hit me up on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. I got a bunch of answers to this question on Twitter so far. I'll go through some of them. My top three, though, I will say, were Jackson 1. I mentioned Singletary was my number 2. I'm intrigued to see Duke Williams as well. The guy led the CFL in receiving. Like, there's got to be some sort of talent there. It's not like he was just a CFL guy anyway. Like, he went to the CFL because he had off-the-field issues coming out of college at Auburn. Like, he was a second-round pick prospect at wide receiver, and he never got a shot because he had some off-the-field stuff. And then he goes to the CFL. Now he's here. So I'm almost thinking, like, hey, that's a guy you could have drafted in the second round years ago that you've never seen. But I just don't know how he wins a roster spot. Like, that's my only hiccup and why I wouldn't put Duke Williams higher. I just don't see how the math works out for him to make this team. Because Beasley is here. Brown is here. Foster is here. Every time I feel like I try to mention that Zay Jones might not be a lock to make this team, I think I get met with a lot of pushback on that. So if that spot's not available, how is he making the squad? Andre Holmes should be here. He's got guaranteed money. He fills a different role. Those other guys don't. And I'm not even mentioning Isaiah McKenzie, who I'd love to see make this team. I liked him last year. And he does more special team stuff. I'm wondering if Duke Williams' only path to this roster is beating out Zay Jones for fourth wide receiver. Because otherwise, I just don't see how he's going to make this team. That's why I think it's unlikely. But I'm intrigued by the talent. I'm intrigued to see if maybe there's enough upside to where they'd even think about finding a way to carve out a spot for him. So he's my number three guy, I think, for this. A lot of responses on Twitter. Danny says Cody Ford. That's right. Because other than Deion Dawkins, like, who's the young offensive lineman with a lot of upside? Like, Cody Ford would be right there. He'd probably be even number one on the team when you think of offensive lineman with upside. Josh says Singletary. I agree with that. Duke says David Sills. A lot of David Sills. I'm not big on that, though. Like, I think he's just kind of become like the Brandon Riley, like, guy who did a lot in college, put up some production in college, but there's a reason that at that position he went undrafted. injury issues, quickness issues, speed. Like, I don't know. I just don't think he's going to live up to all the talk he's getting. Joe says Josh Allen. Sure. I mean, that's right. I didn't really think of him because I was thinking a lot of guys that, like, haven't been here before. But, of course, like, we're all – Allen's going to be the guy we pay the most attention to. But that's almost too easy. Too easy, Joe. Jimmy says Christian Wade. Now, here's the thing. I'm not too curious about him because I think he might be the only guy we, like, absolutely know is not going to make the team because he has the international allocation. He can be on the team all year on the practice squad, and they don't have to use a practice squad spot on him. So I just think that's bound to happen. Justin, another vote for Singletary. Daniel for Mitch Morse. I'm not really that curious about him, though. I think he was just good in Kansas City. He's a veteran. Like, I'm not thinking too much about whether Mitch Morse is good. I think he's one of your only staples on the offensive line right now. Ray says Dawson Knox. I think that's a very good one. I should have mentioned him. I would actually almost put him third over Duke Williams because Knox will be on this team, and I think there's reason to wonder if he's going to be the starting tight end right away because, I mean, Croft's hurt. Croft is hurt, and Croft also was not like some superstar in Cincinnati. Like, you brought in a guy who's pretty good, but it's not like Dawson Knox can't win that job even if Tyler Croft was healthy. So that's a good one. And then another vote for Zay Jones and one for Dawson Knox from Matt. So let me know what you think. 803-0550, which player are you most curious to see at training camp and the preseason? We'll continue to read through some texts and some tweets. I want to take a timeout from this topic just for a minute, though, because after the break, Kevin Sylvester, Tee to Green, and PGA is going to join me, talk a little bit about the Open Championship, which is ongoing in Northern Ireland. And we'll get a little update on the Open Championship before we circle back into our Bills conversation here. Sports Talk Saturday, 716-803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get involved. Joe DiBiase and Kyle Powell here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I've just been able to control the club face a little bit better. Before, it was closing on me, and I'm able to hold it open and get my path left enough to be able to hit my cut so I don't have two misses, and it's given me a lot more confidence. Been able just to set up and swing now and really not have to think about the golf swing so much.
That is J.B. Holmes, who's currently, by the way, did he just take the lead? No, Lee Westwood just birdied. So Lee Westwood, J.B. Holmes, who you just heard there, are tied atop the leaderboard at the Open Championship in Northern Ireland. And joining us now to talk more about the Open Championship, co-host of Tee to Green and also PGA Tour Radio, Kevin Sylvester. And Kevin, the pictures I saw, I think it was even on your Instagram, of the place you guys are at in Bradford, like that castle, like I would not even imagine that was even in the United States.
That's right. When I got there, I said, this is like a castle on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Really cool place. But you know what? It's funny. The architect designed Wingfoot's Clubhouse, and that was the original design for Wingfoot's Clubhouse.
Okay.
The main golf club in New York that has 36 holes, and they needed something bigger at Wingfoot. And when the folks at Penn Hills came up, come on, he goes, I've got just a thing for you, and it's on sale. Here you go.
And it's
beautiful place.
Is this your first time at that course?
Yeah, it's our first time down there. They have a great tournament, a pro-am Monday and Tuesday. The pro-am's Monday and then Tuesday. Club pros from all around the country will play for a top prize of $50,000. So these are professionals at the local country clubs that deal with members day in and day out, and it's one of the largest purses they'll ever play for. So it's a big tournament for club professionals that are so good to us on our show and for every golfer out there in Western New York.
Awesome. So the third round of the Open Championship is well underway in Northern Ireland. And before we get into the guys that are in contention right now, the two big names that obviously I think were the most noteworthy that missed the cut, starting with Rory McIlroy, because it seemed like him talking coming into this tournament, it seemed like he was so excited for it, and the, it being in his home country, and it's got to be a tough one for him to miss by one stroke, especially when he had that three putt from inside, what was it, 5-6 feet the other or on round one.
Yeah, you know, that was stunning, that tap in that, you know, just rimmed out on him. It just seems unthinkable. And, you know, we could say that's the stroke, but there were so many strokes in that opening round 79 that he would absolutely want back. The opening tee ball. I mean, Rory McIlroy is one of the best drivers of the golf ball ever as far as accuracy and distance. And to see him hit one out of bounds, the opening tee shot of the Open Championship on a home club of his, just seems unfathomable, and it shook him for sure. And then he tried to fight his way back, and then the final hole, making a triple there, just a crushing effort. He knew he had to shoot something special on Friday right. To make the cut. He almost did. I mean, he shoots 65.
Yeah,
that was incredible under that pressure. And I'll tell you what, he's class all the way. Didn't duck anybody. Made great comments, and he's always been that way. He's one of my favorite people to deal with when I'm on assignment for PGA Tour Radio because he's just a very kind person, and I feel bad for him, but, you know, don't worry, Rory. Yeah. Rory's going to win a whole lot more on the PGA Tour.
How much more, because he's going to win more, but are you at all thinking about his legacy? Because he got off to such a hot start in his career, and it's been, 5 years now since he's won a major? Like, are you at all thinking about, like, a missed opportunity maybe for him to be, like, one of the all-time greats?
Well, I still think, you know, remember, Rory's young, so he's still got an opportunity to do that. I mean, he just won the Players' Championship this year, and that's considered the fifth major.
Right.
It's the strongest field in golf, so he won that. So it's not like he hasn't won a big tournament recently, and he's won a tournament each of the last 2 years. But what we've seen and what we're seeing now is players – they have this run where they become the top player in the world, and for a 2 to 3 year period, they're dominant. You know, think of Jason Day. Think of Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson. You know, these guys are the top players in the world, and then all of a sudden, they're not quite what they used to be. And it all happened early for Rory McIlroy. I think Jordan Spieth's the best comparison for Rory, where, you know, things happened fast and furious for him. And all of a sudden, the expectations are you're going to be the next Tiger Woods. I think what it tells us is, and we all knew, is just how great Tiger Woods was and is to do what he's done.
Right. Speaking of Tiger Woods, I mean, he's talked a lot about his back being sore this weekend, and I think we all pretty much knew this, but it's going to be a very kind of up and down rest of his career where he's going to, like, I feel like if his back's feeling well, he's going to be in contention. And otherwise, I don't know, like, he just seems to me like he's never going to be obviously the dominant golfer he was anymore, but there are going to be times where he just kind of disappears on the tour.
Well, he'll never disappear, by the way, because he'll always have the biggest galleries.
Right.
But I know what you mean. He's not going to be a factor, and I think he's coming to grips with that. And he's played a lot more golf, I think, than he ever thought he would coming back from the last surgery. And to win the Masters, you know, it's a perfect setup for him because it's a smaller field. And when you make the cut and you're near the top of the leaderboard, you really have to beat 25 guys. Whereas he goes into an Open Championship, you know, there's 154, 156 players. You got to beat every one of them. It's a little different animal for him. And when he struggled when conditions have been chilly, and, you know, obviously the back's not loosened up, you know, he's had all this work, all these injuries. He's 43 years old, can be 44. I mean, you know, anybody listening right now in your 40s, which I am, like, there are days you wake up, you're like, what the? I think why is everything sore? And we're talking about a guy who's had so many injuries, so it's understandable. For Tiger. I think we'll see Tiger, the Masters, you know, he'll contend for the Masters. He said he's going to come back to the playoff events. He hasn't played 3 straight weeks. I think it'll be a tall order to pull off this year for Tiger Woods. But what he's done this year has been incredible to win the Masters, to come back and be back in other tournaments. And Phil Mickelson's the other one. He's 49 years old. And, you know, he's feeling 49. He's had an arthritic condition in the past, and it's just not there. I mean, they're trying to keep up with the young guys who just seem like, you look at Koepka, Dustin Johnson, you know, just seem like they're effortless in smashing the ball, and it takes more effort for the older guys to keep up with a long game.
Kevin Sylvester is on the West Hur hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Kev Sylvester. So of the guys up top on the leaderboard, do you have a favorite right now that you could see running away with this? Or not running away with it, but coming out on top?
I'm sorry, you cut out there a little bit on the drive here. What was that last part?
Is there a guy that's up on top of the leaderboard right now that you would say should be considered the favorite?
Brooks, if I was a player in the field, he could round yet this week. You know, he kept a nose in him.
All right, I think we're having a connection issue with Kevin Sylvester here on the West Hur hotline, so maybe we'll try and reconnect. Otherwise, though, the top of the leaderboard, by the way, if you're not really familiar with who's up there, it's funny that Lee Westwood is on top. Like, I feel like that guy's just been, where has he been for 5 years? He was always in contention at majors, and I don't think he won one. Like, I don't think Lee Westwood has a major, but here he is again at the Open Championship, and, you know, that would be his tournament. You would think that if he was going to win one, that this would be it. So I'm almost hoping that it's not him, not for anything personal or anything, but just, like you know, you want legacies to be built. You want new stars to emerge. That's why I've always rooted for Ricky Fowler, who's three shots back. It always seems like he's always three shots back in a major, but who knows? He could put that run together. We have Kevin Sylvester back on the West Hur hotline. So, Kevin, just to reiterate that question, like, is there a guy up the top of the leaderboard you think should be considered the favorite right now?
Well, you know, again, and I apologize for that. You know, Koepka is a guy that's always going to be a factor, you know, over this weekend. So I'd be concerned about him if I were a guy like J.B. Holmes. Holmes is going to be interesting to see because the last time he was a leader in a big tournament, it was a couple of years ago at the Players' Championship, in a 36-hole lead, and he played terribly. And part of it, he hit a fan in the head, and the person was hurt pretty bad, and he wasn't the same after that. So I'm interested to see how he handles it. Lowry's an interesting player. You know, he's got all this pressure and all these eyeballs on him, and I'll be interested to see how he handles that this weekend. I thought it was smart that he said he's not going to ignore the fact that he really wants to win it. He knows the pressure's there. Justin Rose, a world-class player, Olympic champion, U.S. Open champion, he'd absolutely love to win this one. But, man, you mentioned, it's funny, he's on top, Lee Westwood. I mean, this would be like Darren Clark winning when Darren
right.
Clark won 2 years ago. You know, getting that major and to win an Open Championship, it would validate Lee Westwood's career. He had so many near misses, the Masters, the Open, other majors. If Lee Westwood could pull this off, that would be a tremendous win for the game of golf.
Along those lines, like a guy that seems to always be in contention and has yet to really win that first major, I mentioned him before, is Ricky Fowler. And he's four shots back. And it's so funny, like I feel like every single time that I'm watching these majors, he is in contention, but he's always a little bit further back to where he can't quite put that run together. Like, where do you think we are at Ricky Fowler's career? Do you think he could be headed down that same path as Westwood or even Sergio, where we might be talking about him in 5-6 years and we're still hoping that he gets that first major?
Well, I think it's a great comparison, right? I mean, you talk about a great player who's won golf tournaments. He's won a Players' Championship. Sergio won a Players' Championship. I always thought it's going to be the Masters. I think that sits up better for him. It's interesting to see him in contention as he is, but I never thought of him as a great links player. I don't see him flighting the ball low and the shots that you have to hit there and the creativity. With that, I think Ricky's more of a smasher. So I'm surprised he's contending as well, but I think the draw, the weather that he got helped him out here. So I'd love to see him win. He's an outstanding player. Some regard him as the best player without a major right now. You can argue Tommy Fleetwood's the best player without a major right now.
Right.
That's another guy you can certainly keep an eye on. Remember what he did last year at the U.S. Open
yep.
on that Sunday with 62. So Fleetwood will certainly be somebody to be contended with today. But I don't see her, unfortunately.
Yeah, Fleetwood actually just birdied. He's only one shot back now, only through five holes. Yeah, he would definitely be an interesting one to see there. He's younger, too, 28 years old, I think. So there's definitely still a long career in front of him. Is it Fleetwood? Is it Westwood? Like, if you had to pick one, like, what would be the best story, you think, to come out of this tournament? Kevin, do we got you? I think we lost him. All right, well, anyways, some good talk there, though, on the Open Championship. You can follow Kevin at Kev Sylvester on Twitter. If you're looking for more golf talk, go to our on-demand audio, WGR550.com, and the radio.com app. Go down to Tee to Green. You can catch their two-hour show from this morning with Brian Koziel and Jeff Mides as well. Some good stuff there from Kevin Sylvester. We'll take a timeout now. We'll get back into our Bills topic. We'll continue to keep you updated, of course, on the Open Championship leaderboard. I still call it the British Open, by the way. Like, is that not official anymore? If I go to Wikipedia right now, and I search British Open, is it going to come up? Because that's how I've called it my entire life. And I feel like, you know, I'm more official now. I'm on the air. And even in updates, I feel like we got to call it the Open Championship. But I'm never going all the way there. It's still the British Open to me. So we'll keep you updated on that. But let's get back into our Bills topic after the break. We're going to talk to Chris Trapasso at noon, talking about the player you are most curious to see at Bills training camp and preseason. My number one is Tyree Jackson, although close second, Devin Singletary. Read through some more of your tweets and texts when we come back on that as well. Or if you want to get ahead of those guys and you want to call in, we'll get you right on. 716-803-0550 is the number. Sports Talk Saturday, Joe DiBiase and Kyle Powell here on WGR.
And I think that he kind of has the skill set that's going to play very well with Josh Allen, and I'm excited to see how they're going to work this out. So right now, the headliners are out there. They're doing their thing, but I think that Devin Singletary is the guy you definitely have to watch out for.
NFL.com's Adam Rank, who was on One Bills Live last week. He'll actually also be on with Shope and the Bulldog on Wednesday, I believe. So, good stuff from him there on Devin Singletary. I heard that over the week. Was that Thursday? And he was higher on Singletary than I've ever heard anybody. I mean, he was tossing the term superstar out there. So I'm not sure Singletary is due for that, but it's certainly possible. That's why I always want to see those guys get the opportunity to play here, is because you look at yesterday, I tweeted out a list of the last 10, I always bring this up when talking about Singletary because it's just evidence of the success rate of those second, third, fourth round running backs. The last 10 running backs drafted in the third round are all, I would say, good, and half are starters and a couple of them are superstars. Royce Freeman, Deonta Foreman, Alvin Kamara, superstar, Kareem Hunt, who had his off-the-field issue, was good on the field. James Conner, who was great last year for Pittsburgh. Kenyon Drake, who's really good in Miami. C.J. Procise might be like the worst of them, and he's a third-down, decent passing back for Seattle. Just can't stay healthy. Tevin Coleman, who San Francisco just paid a bunch of money to. Duke Johnson, who's good. There's a reason he wants out of Cleveland, because he's a starting-caliber running back, and he wants to do it. And David Johnson, who's a superstar. Like, those are your last 10 third-round running backs. And if the worst of them are C.J. Procise, Royce Freeman, and Deonta Foreman, well, Procise has a role on the Seahawks, and Freeman and Foreman might become their team starters this year. So it's a very high success rate. And that's why he's definitely one of the players I'm most interested to see at training camp this year and at preseason. Because it's not just how good he is, but it's how they use him. If you remember how he was talked about when he was drafted and during the draft season, he was used primarily in college as that first second down running back, did not catch the ball much, if at all. I mean, he maybe had 10 catches in his senior season, so they just did not use him in the passing game. Bean, if you missed his comments at WGR550.com, go check him out. He talks about him having good hands. And teams wanted to see what he looked like as a wide receiver at the combine, maybe to get a sense of that. He had 6 catches, by the way, last season as a junior. 261 carries and 6 catches. Was there a bigger difference in ratio between attempts and receptions? But anyways, I'm wondering if the Bills will use him as that role. Because if you look at what their running back group looks like right now, well, you would want to think McCoy and Gore are both those first and second down running backs. And who's your real, like, who's your passing down back? Yeldon. But are they really going to keep all 4 of those? And are they going to keep Yeldon? Because a 4th running back almost all the time has to play special teams. And none of them do. And if Yeldon wants to be on this team as the 4th running back, he's either going to have to play special teams or he's going to have to look completely different and give them something they don't have in the other 3. That would be the passing downs. That would be the receptions, the danger that he is in the pass game. And that would have to come into play if Singletary doesn't show that he can also do that. Because if Singletary comes in and is like, all right, well, this is, he was just, they weren't using him right in college. He can do it. He can do it well. So we're going to have him do that, and we're going to move on from Yeldon. He would have to show that in preseason. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Singletary puts on film on the field at preseason and also in camp as a receiver. The other school of thought there, and this one I think is less likely, is if Singletary looks so good that you just can't take him off the field, would LeSean McCoy and would the Bills want to use LeSean McCoy as a complementary running back? Because McCoy, while he might not be the best in the world at it, he hasn't really been used a lot at it in his career, somewhat, but the volume's not there that other star running backs have been used. Would McCoy ever take a step back into a complementary role as that receiving running back? Because he would be good at it, I think. He hasn't done it a ton, but he's been good at it throughout his career. So if Singletary shows well enough that, hey, he can take over and be your starting running back, would you ever do McCoy as that third down back? And then you really don't have a need for TJ Yeldon. I want to ask Chris Trapasso about that and a little bit more. Draft analyst, NFL analyst, all the above for CBS Sports. He's been on the station plenty of times. I think he's a big fan of what Singletary was as a prospect, but I'll double check with him when we ask him in the next segment. And we'll talk more about the Bills and a lot of the rookies, too, and what we should be expecting from the likes of Ed Oliver and Dawson Knox and Cody Ford, et cetera, et cetera. Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports joins me next. Sports Talk Saturday with Jody Biasi here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.